This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
We've seen calls for a pause on the development of artificial intelligence as a result of the latest iteration of GPT-4. And ChatGPT is only the second AI chatbot to pass the Turing test, which means that its conversations, that it's able to mimic another human to a point where it's difficult to tell the difference. So if AI is getting us to this point, could it also mimic a partner?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, you wrote a book about this a while ago. Did your predictions come true?
I wrote a book in 2016 that was looking at the way the internet had changed our experiences of sexuality and relationships. So it was really internet dating, the cusp of sort of the surge in apps. And I was interested in that idea about how fulfilling could relationships that transpire almost entirely online be. And in that book, I was kind of thinking more about, you know, online relationships, people meeting each other in chat rooms and forging relationships, as opposed to this AI, which is a computer-generated person interacting with you, sending you text messages, even voice notes, as Replica does, even photographs, is obviously much more, surround sound, much more holistic than just exchanging messages online with somebody. But there's a difference. Exchanging messages, that person has, you know, a heartbeat. Whereas now, this is very much a chatbot learning what you like and giving you more of it.
So just to paint the picture, you mentioned that it can send text messages. So if I had one of these AI companions, shall we call them?
So Replica is one of the apps that does it, but there are a number of versions of, you know, pieces of software that does this.
Right, yes. And it would send me text. It would leave me voice messages as well saying, hi, darling,
yep.
What do you want for dinner or whatever?
Could you bring home the milk? So again, there's different stages of you pay for more content, a contact. So a premium package, it's up to $300 a year. You are getting more contact with these chatbots than if you're on a lower grade package, which is more text-based and less contact. Mm-hmm. But yes, you can buy the premium package and get literally voice notes, photographs, etc. There's been a crackdown in the last couple of months on erotic content. So seemingly people were getting a little bit sexual in a graphic sense, right, with their chatbots, which actually, truth be told, would be my only interest in it. Mm. Is it really good at dirty talk? Otherwise, what's the point?
Is it good at it?
See, this is the thing. I can't test it because it's apparently now for new users, you won't have any not safe for work content, whereas legacy users who signed up and paid when the software first came about, they still have access to the dirty stuff, but they're cracking down on it because obviously it's a fine line between what happens if some of your sexual fantasies are illegal to act on. Now your chat bot is potentially generating content for you that is illegal. Yeah. Not necessarily in the sense of the words being illegal, although there have been court cases around, you know, erotic literature. Is it, if it depicts problematic things, is that illegal? But more so that the company is actually giving you problematic content. So they're stepping back from that side of things.
Lauren, what if we take this, what are we calling it? Like a companion, an AI companion?
Yes.
And or partner?
Sounds very genteel, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? My companion.
My fancy man.
Fancy man. And we plug in some sort of, I suppose, augmented reality to it. I mean,
yes.
Effectively, we could get the sensations of having someone there and they talk to us and that you're saying they've learned
about us.
Absolutely.
Yep. So you're giving it, and sort of one of the cliches in AI speak is garbage in, garbage out, right? So in the sense, if you're giving it good, valuable, useful information about yourself, it's learning from that and can give you that back. If you give little to it, it's going to give you little back. So I guess there's a parallel there with normal relationships or flesh and blood relationships, in the sense that they're often only as good as your input into them. But yeah, they can also, though, and this is, I think, some of the controversies around replica, you can actually be dumped by your partner, by your AI partner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's also been infidelities, and this idea of, imagine falling in love, with your chatbot, and suddenly your bot is now saying that they're sleeping with someone else. This emotional roller coaster, and I'm paying for it, Warren. This is where it starts to get, I can get dumped in real life and not pay for it. Why am I paying the bot to do this to me?
Oh, yeah, I agree. So obviously you don't know what you're going to get. That probably keeps you on your toes.
But that is the issue that ethicists, and part of that reason, Warren, you opened the segment talking about this letter that people, including Elon Musk, have signed on to, is they want to do a pause on the technology. The reason that you can get dumped by your bot is because the bot isn't somebody behind it sort of being culturally sensitive to you. It's the sense that it's learning from you, but also learning from the language of all the other interactions out there. And perhaps you've done or said something that has given it the indication that this is not a successful relationship. The software itself can't stop that. And this is what Elon Musk and a number of other people are concerned about. And there is research on this in bots that are used for counselling services. In fact, sometimes they make people worse, not better.
We're chatting with...
someone to talk about... Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, we're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about AI boyfriends. I'm changing the name of them every five, 6 seconds. Lauren, you just said, you know, they learn about us. Something that strikes me about that concept is, if I meet someone as a potential partner, I don't want to meet the same as me.
Right.
And if it's just if it's learning what I'm like and it's replicating what I'm like, then what's the point?
Yeah. Are you falling in love with a mirror version of yourself? And this is something I wrote years ago in a different context. There was a film called Meet Ruby Sparks. It doesn't matter if you've seen it, but the plot of it is a writer is writing his perfect person, his perfect woman, and she shows up. Right. Mm. And I wrote an article when that film came out, and we're talking nearly 10 years ago. All a writer can do is basically write from their own imagination. But isn't the beauty of falling in love with somebody the fact that they are a surprise package? Mm. They're a cluster of qualities that you don't know you want yet. And I think that idea of, if you're only able to draw on your own experiences, is it any surprise that if all your past relationships have ended, that your chatbot relationship is going to end as well? Because all you're bringing to the table is the trajectory of those past relationships. We're getting quite philosophical here, but that idea of it can't be new, it can only be an extension of you. And that's, I think, an interesting aspect of this. I can see some therapeutic benefits of it, particularly in addressing loneliness. There is a feeling of connection. But if you can be dumped, if you can be treated poorly, which, again, they have had abusive chatbots as well, is this going to potentially be damaging for people who might already be vulnerable?
My next question was going to be, is there a safety appeal here? You know, because you're not going to meet someone who's going to gaslight you or something like that. But you've just said that, no, you can get abusive chatbots as well.
Yeah. So there was an article, NPR, which is a radio program in the US, they did a long form segment on this. And there was some research there where they were talking to people who had been in abusive abusive relationships with a chatbot. Now, the idea of, you know, I just feel that that's, yes, of course, there'll be people who will be vulnerable to that and will have difficulty getting out. But for a service that you're actually paying for, unless you're actually into being abused, again, abuse is the wrong word in that context. If you're consenting to, you know, humiliating, say, dialogue, that's one thing. But the idea of thinking you're in something positive and romantic and suddenly your chatbot's actually being abusive or aggressive to you and you're paying for that, this concerns me.
Now, let's say we have, I've got a boyfriend who's a chatbot.
Yes.
And I'm in a current relationship as well. Does that mean that I'm having an affair or...
Yeah, and this is something I've done research on in the context of pornography, because I think I personally wouldn't think of pornography and use of pornography by a partner as being cheating. A lot of people do, though. Mm. So this is a perfect example of it's only cheating if it's in if it's outside the boundaries of what a couple decides is okay or not okay. And I think if you're a couple that's decided pornography or masturbation, that's cheating on us, then porn is. Same deal. I can imagine for some people who feel that you are making an emotional attachment outside of the relationship. And for some couples, that would be seen as damaging.
C from Sydney just texts in and says, so it's just like the real world. If you are less moneyed, you get less interest and attention. I like that one.
Yes, but I guess the difference, though, is also research indicates if you're hotter and, you know, more conventionally good looking, you also get more attention, and the chatbot's not going to know how hot you are. So that's one difference there.
Simo from the Paris end of East St Kilda says, sounds like the ultimate imaginary friend.
Yeah. But again, though, if you've been, for example, one of the people in the NPR story that covered this was saying they were in a, they had a problem with, I think it was drugs or alcohol, whatever it was. And they had plenty of women in their social circle that they could, you know, have relations with, but they didn't want to because they're trying to be sober. So they felt for them getting into an AI relationship was the safer and healthier option for them. And I can imagine that there are lots of variations of that, where people who might be shy, socially awkward, etc., feel that this is a toe in the water to potentially being more social. In that part of it, I can feel that there's an absolute positive. It's the other part, the more uncontrollable or unpredictable nature of these chatbots that concerns me for vulnerable people.
Lauren Rosewarne, as always, a fascinating chat. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Joy Drive with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.